Hey, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. Build a customized renter's policy with American Family Insurance so you can protect your tandem bike on the go.
Thief!
Oh, he is struggling with that two-seater. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Some exclusions may apply. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay, the last 10 times you've had sex, what fraction of that did you top and what fraction did you bottom?
Oh.
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? It's me, Eric Williams, and this week we've got the very handsome Caleb Gossett, an HIV educator, researcher, advocate, and someone I've been following for literal years. So it's incredibly exciting that he's here on the podcast, and God, it's a good episode. Also, it's just been an overwhelming week. Like, how are you doing, babe? It's an overwhelm of pop culture. Can you believe the Jen Shaw pleading guilty of it all? Can you believe the Lea Michele Beanie Feldstein? I feel like we're all going to remember history as before Beanie Feldstein was ousted by a wig shitter and after. Stay tuned on that. And of course, we do talk about the Lea Michele of it all in this week's episode. I could not help myself. I also have been overwhelmed by a recent experience that just was changing my perspective of this planet. Not the galaxy picture, which was stunning. Did you see the galaxy tweet that I posted on the podcast Instagram? Like the gaping wide instead of bussy. You saw it. What I mean is I went to this gay-themed party this weekend that I thought was just like, I don't know, people drinking outside, a lot of gay people. It's called Hot Dog in LA. A couple of friends told me about it. I ended up going. And if you've been listening, you're like, oh, I know that spot. But if you don't know about it, it's just like what I thought was an outside party at like a really cool, cute venue in Silver Lake. Turns out you walk in and there are cups that are color-coded and you choose the cup depending on your sexual role. I'm looking around. I'm like, did we happen upon a fuck fest? I was like, am I participating in an orgy that I did not know was that thing? I grabbed my cup, which I want you to guess what cup I grabbed. The options were like power verse, top, flirty bottom. I forget what they, like it was nothing crazy, but I think you know what cup I chose. Answer in the poll what cup it was. Can you imagine I do that Facebook, that Instagram poll? Facebook. Can you imagine? I will also tell you that this week's podcast, the episode is just so fun because of Caleb Gossett's perspective. And because he works in like sexual education, I really did go there for some, like you heard the teaser clip asking about his topping and bottoming, speaking of caps. Also, his character actress answer is just so good. So we're going to get into this week's episode. No one has said the character actress that he has said. We also have a new segment called Me, Myself, and STI. No, I'm not doing the SSRIs this week. We're going straight to some controversial questions. And in the final 5 minutes of the ep, I of course ask about his number one fantasy. It's just so much to look forward to. Thank you so much for being here for That's a Gay Ass Podcast. And you know what to do. If you like this podcast, tell one friend. It's one of the only ways that we can grow. And I really mean that. Text it to someone right now. That's like the dream. That is my dream. So make that come true. Enjoy Caleb Gossett. I love you so much. And let's do it. Caleb, thank you for doing this. I've followed you for years, and this is a true honor.
For years? Ugh.
I think so. I was trying to map out, historically speaking, when it was, and I feel like it's just I was born following you. And
oh,
I think
my
that's,
gosh. That's so sweet of you. But I will say, when I got your email that you wanted me on, like I gay screamed because I swear to God, maybe a month or two at this point, I saw your videos of you recording your podcast on TikTok. And then I listened to you with Bowens. And I was like, oh,
God.
I want to be on this podcast.
Oh,
I was
my
like,
God.
But I was like, I'm not going to reach out. Like, that's weird. But like, and then I got your email and I swear.
Caleb, you manifested.
I did. And I'm so excited to be here.
That's such an honor for you to say that. Are you like a granola girl who likes to manifest? Is that like...
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely into like putting out good vibes. Like, I'm naturally optimistic. I mean, even in this day and age with everything going on, I don't know, it's a gift. But yeah, I'm very much like, if you speak into existence, it will come true if you keep doing it. So here we are.
Bless, Kayla, bless. Well, listen, speaking of TikTok videos, I'm such a fan of all of your shit. I'm going to be asking you a lot of controversial questions.
But okay,
before we get into the personal controversy, we have to go public, which is, do you have any stake in the Funny Girl drama that's happened this week?
I do not.
Interesting. I don't. That's actually refreshing. Yeah. Why not? Who hurt you?
I just don't, like, I've never been, like, super into Broadway and shows, like, and I say that, like, I love going to see them, don't get me wrong, like, yeah, I love me a good musical, a good show, a good performance, but I just, like, even with movies and TV, I rarely know the actors' names. I don't, unless, like, it's something like, I'm a Marvel gay, I know some people are gonna be like, ew, but yeah, like,
no, you'd be surprised how many superhero gays I've spoken with, because we're on different sides of the gay coin, right. I am more of the theater queen, and like, will I watch Chris Evans take off a lycra suit? Of course.
I mean, are
I
you
will
gay? Like,
just like beautiful. You will watch a YouTube clip of a Dreamgirls performance from the 80s. Listen,
absolutely,
we all have gay blood, but it doesn't mean that we're all sucking from the same teat of culture, and I think that's okay.
Yes, I love that.
Does that mean that you don't have an opinion about Lea Michele doing the show?
I don't. I mean, I've heard, I mean, I'm very well aware, I'm tapped into like the gay Twitter drama, so I've heard all about it, and I know the drama surrounding her, but it's like, I just, yeah, I don't have a stake in it.
I think that's the most mentally healthy place you can be, because I literally had to go to the park today to get off of Twitter. I was just like, I need to get away from this device, because I was just reading take after take after take, and at some point it's like, I don't care
like
anymore.
The last time the gay Twitter timeline was going this crazy about one thing was when Beyonce dropped her song. And so, even before that, like, I don't even remember the last time when collectively everyone was like having a freak out. So,
well, what's really fucked up about it too is that I, like, you know, like when discourse starts and it's like, okay, sure, Beanie Feldstein was treated shittily because she got bad reviews. That's bad. Sure, Lea Michele is a monster and got hired to do a big Broadway star despite her being a monster. That's bad. There's a lot of nuance to the whole thing. What I've started, but I'm so deep into it now, all of a sudden people are like, only a Jew should be playing this part, which, like, as a Jew, I respect that. But then Lea Michele, is her dad is Jewish, but now people are like, but she was raised Catholic, and now all
like
of a sudden we're going
Jewish
into her
enough.
Childhood.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. So I'm like, this has gotten too dark, because now we're like trying to, like, what's the word, put a magnifying glass to her identity and her, and it's just like, well, wait a minute, she did threaten to shit in a wig, and isn't that enough?
Yeah,
like,
see,
we don't, why bring in her parents' religion to this?
I mean, I feel like that's the natural cycle, but I am surprised that it's gone there that fast. You know,
yeah,
and maybe
I
it's
agree,
just
I
because
agree.
It's her, and I think she has so much controversy wrapped around her anyways. Yeah. So,
yeah,
but yeah.
Well, and that's the thing, is everything changes so fast. So we're talking about this the week that the announcement came out. Fine. Lea Michele doesn't start until September. Who knows, A, if the show is going to last till then, B, how people are going to perceive her performance, because listen, I will say on the record, she's going to be really good.
I mean,
is she a monster? Yeah, but is she going to sound incredible? Yeah. Right.
I mean, there's a reason they chose her.
There is a reason. It is all fucked, but like, unfortunately, I'm sure they're going to sell a lot of tickets.
Oh, I'm sure. Because, I mean, the people outside of gay Twitter, or even just like typical gay drama right now, like, they have no clue. Like, they know her from Glee, and they're like probably really excited, you know? So
that's true.
I mean, it's constantly said, like, Twitter isn't the real world. I mean, I think it should definitely be addressed and considered, but it's not.
Well, that's what's sad for probably a lot of the people on Twitter to hear, which is that they are not the main character.
Yeah. Yeah.
As much as they think, as much as any of us want to be at some
right.
point.
I mean, I'm definitely guilty of feeling that way sometimes when I'm tweeting something controversial or like political, but yeah, just, that's the reality.
Well, I have to say that you are our first HIV educator, researcher, advocate on this podcast, and that is a title. It is an honor. I want to ask you, what the fuck is going on with the monkeypox vaccine? Caleb, where can I get it?
I know. I'm honestly almost as clueless as you are. However, one of my mutuals on Twitter, he Where's he at now? He was in Georgia. I think he's in DC now. But anyways, he works in the HIV field, and he put together a comprehensive list of all the major cities and where you could.
Yeah.
Where you could. His name is Grant Roth. I cannot think of his Twitter handle, though, so sorry.
Okay. That's a great reminder, because I'm going to maybe post that on the Gay Ass Podcast Instagram, because I think, like, for any of our gay girlies listening, like, I think we all need that fucking vaccine.
I agree. And I think what I've loved is, so Howard Brown Health is the main, like, LGBTQ plus health system here in Chicago, but the one of the most popular bathhouses here in Boys Town, Steamworks, actually came together to put on the first, like, monkeypox vaccine here since this outbreak. And I was like, that's perfect. Like, you're getting it to the people who need it most. And so I definitely want to get it as soon as possible. But it's just, again, we're not prepared for another outbreak of a virus.
I know. So, it's really dark.
It's no surprise, but it's sad.
It is. And I just, like, I was actually at this gay gathering party thing this weekend, and I was just like, usually I have at least 10 guys touching my hole, but I'm like, tonight I can't. I'm kidding. I actually don't mean that. But, like, I was just like,
I have to, like, keep it at three.
Keep it at three fingers. Three. Can you imagine three different men with their pointer fingers in me? Oh, something to look forward to. But actually, you know what? I do want to do a new segment before I get to the main podcast question, Kayla, which is a segment I'm titling Me, Myself, and STI. I'm going to ask you controversial questions that I found through research. You can choose to spill the tea or say no, girly.
Okay.
Question number one. You have famously posted a video on your TikTok where you are putting your hand in a Pringles can. You take the Pringles, the tube away, your hand emerges, and sort of like a symbol or a actual form of a fisting hand. Caleb, the question is, have you ever fisted someone, been fisted, or have an interest in doing both? I'm like Andy Cohen now. You can choose, you can choose to
You know what? I'm an open
or you
book.
Can go in.
I'm an open book. I want to be real. So I have, but it's not juicy. I have neither fisted nor been fisted. And that's not something that I'm into. However, if there was a partner that would want to be fisted, I mean, I could be the top in that.
And you know the hand, you know how the hand.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we're all well aware of how to do it if you've eaten Pringles before. Let's be honest.
Okay. Pringles needs to team up with, I guess, Steamworks again. Steamworks is going to do a lot of collabs this year.
The collab of the century.
Pringles. And I mean, listen, I will be honest too. I have never fisted, never been fisted. And I think that I feel proud of the people who are able to enjoy that, because it seems like a feat, a physical, emotional, otherworldly feat.
I mean, it's a commitment. I mean, not just anyone off the street can go be fisted, you know, like...
It's sort of true. It's just like, you know, people watch a movie and they think anybody can act. It's just like watching a fisting video. You can't.
Leave it to the professionals.
Do you think that, speaking of professionals, like when you're watching porn and then like you think like, okay, they can take it up their tushy so easily. Do you think that when you first did that, was it much more difficult than you thought it would be?
Oh, absolutely. Because at that time, the first time that I had sex, I wasn't even in HIV yet. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't very like well aware of sexual health practices and to prepare yourself for bottoming. And and he like, we were in the shower and he tried to like just shove it in, which I was like, no, but yeah. So any young queer people may listening, please use lubrication if you're having anal sex.
And plenty of it.
Plenty.
Did that shower sesh end up being successful?
Oh, no. Well, we moved it to, in the shower, no, but we still flipped in the living room once we found some lotion, unfortunately. But, you know, 19 years old, I know.
I'm not judging. I'm just, I feel scared for the 19-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, it was Easter, though. So, like, it was for Jesus.
Was it Jergens for Jesus? Was it Jergens lotion?
No, I don't even know. I think it was like hand lotion or something. Like, God,
not like a Eucerin.
If I could go back and tell my younger self one thing, I'd be like, just like buy some lube. Like, even if it's KY, like the awful stuff, just please use.
Oh my God, KY. Okay, I had a very devastating memory just pop up. My dad owns a pharmacy and I 100% would like steal KY jelly from the pharmacy.
Oh, you had like an endless supply.
Yeah, but like in hindsight, that's not, that's like tier five lube.
I know, but it's just like your standards are different, you know, it's more desperate.
And just like us at 19.
Right. And now if we were to like actively seek out KY when there are much better options, yes, that's a problem.
What's your LOC lube of choice these days?
Oh my God, what is it called? I think, is it Navy? Ooh. What is that called? Oh, I can't think of the brand.
Is it like the gun oil one?
No, not gun oil. I've heard that's like really messy, even like the water-based kind. So sure. I can't think of the brand right now, but it's a clear bottle with just the logo on it. So I don't know. But I do prefer, it's funny because not until recently I preferred a water-based lube, but now I'm getting more into silicone. So same. It's been a good journey for me.
Same. You got to be careful the older you get with like the nicer your sheets get.
Right.
It's the gay quandary. You want to like have a perfectly lubed hole or gorgeously clean expensive sheets. Right. You can't have both, babe.
You cannot have both.
Okay. I do have another me, myself, and STI question for you.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Rob Anderson famously did a gay science video where he asked why every gay man owns a specific shirt. Then in this video, it cuts to a picture of you, Caleb Gossett, wearing the gay shirt. What is your reaction to this? Are you mad?
No, I thought it was so funny. Because there was like, I don't even know, what was that, 2019? So I think between 2018 up until like when everything shut down, I feel like every, at least like white twink was buying these like button up shirts, like he was saying it from Zara. And like, I mean, even when I wore that shirt, I saw people out at the bars and that was like, it felt almost embarrassing, but I was like, I like this shirt, so I don't care. But I will report that I have thrown it away because I mean, I think it's tainted now. I can't
listen. It's so hard when like we're already a minority of people and like we already have specific tastes. So it's like going to happen where you're going to a gathering and like four people have the same shirt from Zara.
Yeah.
I actually have a friend who's a straight girly who I famously worked at a restaurant in the West Village in New York called Cafe Clooney, and they all wear these St. James blue and white striped long sleeve shirts. And she didn't, and she loves a good stripe. And she went to this restaurant and didn't realize she was also wearing a long sleeve blue and white striped shirt, and I think someone did ask her for a drink.
Oh my god,
that is devastating. Also, like when you're in the, I was one time in a grocery store and did ask a man where the carrots are, and he was like, I don't work here, I'm just wearing a vest.
Well, sorry, don't wear that vest here. It's like wearing
the
red
brown vest off. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I actually had an audition for a State Farm commercial recently, and I got there and I realized I was wearing a red shirt, and it wasn't for the agent.
I mean, is that good or bad then?
I didn't get a call back, Caleb.
So. Oh, well, fuck them. I don't know.
Thank you. Actually, cast me in the next one. I didn't write this down, but I have a follow-up. Rob Anderson is super hairy. Do you like hairy guys?
I don't discriminate. I like hairy.
I'm reading into your face because I can
yeah,
see.
Yeah, no, I'm serious.
You don't discriminate, but I'm trying to see where you land. Okay, if you don't.
So I will follow up by saying I'm 100% verse. So I'm like in the middle. I don't have a preference. And I kind of see that with guys too. And I definitely find myself like almost categorizing, like, is that someone I would want to also be verse with? Or do I want to only bottom for them? Do I want to top them? And then that sort of dictates what kind of guy I would want as well. I think I usually lean towards, I want my tops like beefy and hairy, like manly men. However, I mean, I'm a femme top, so like, I mean, I love me a good femme smooth top too.
Hell yeah, I love equal opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, since we're there, you have another controversial video that is you kind of like stating different characteristics about yourself. It says you're born in Indiana, you're a Gemini, you at one point joined a fraternity, you called off an engagement, and you also have a little reference to being a skinny guy with a quote big D. Caleb, are these all true?
Yes, they are.
I mean,
you are
not single, correct?
I am not. No. Man, I am in a monogamous relationship right now.
Thousands of people's hearts just really felt crushed from that. Wow. I mean, that's such a good tease, though. You're in a monogamous relationship. You have such interesting qualities, and you're also gorgeously endowed. So I guess since I don't want to put you too on the spot with that one, are you comfortable talking about the engagement?
Yeah, sure. It's been a while now, but prior to my current boyfriend, I was in a relationship for 6 years.
Wow.
This was the guy that I came out with while I was in college. We lived together in Indianapolis, where I was at before Chicago. We moved here together. Mm-hmm. And I think just I'm the one who ended the engagement. And there, I just got to a point where I felt like we were growing apart.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, real talk, I think it's incredibly brave and strong to make that decision, because some part of you knows from the outside that in the big picture, if you're going to force something that has such grave consequences, it's much more difficult in the short term to end it, because in the long term, you're going to benefit. I mean, anyone who's been in a relationship knows that, like, to break up or be broken up with, it's all devastating. And it's so tough to make that decision. So, like, I applaud you, because especially when you're young, it's tough to realize that that person that maybe is your first love is not the only option. So, like, I as a person who did plan a wedding and, you know, knows how crazy that was, where were you in the process, like, of the engagement?
So I think we hadn't started actually planning. We had had an engagement party and brought all of our friends together. Like, it was very real, but we were in the process of, I was finishing my master's program. And then our plan for as long as we could remember was to leave Indiana. That's where we had both grown up. And so we sort of were like planning for this long engagement, so that once we identified where we were going to move to, we could ideally have the wedding there. But I think in hindsight, I knew there was those issues, and I think I always just pushed them away or thought they were because I wanted to get out of Indiana so badly. Mm-hmm. So then once we did move away and were settled and those feelings continued, I think I was forced to face them.
That is so true. Like, about no matter where you are, your problems follow you.
Yeah.
In a sense, are you comfortable saying, like, what category? Was it like a communication thing? Was it like values? Like, what was the topic?
No, definitely not values. And that's the thing. I think the only thing, what made it the hardest is because, I mean, I still adore him. I adore everything that he gave me. I mean, I came out with him. He helped me through that entire thing. And so, like, I think what makes me sad to this day is, like, we aren't in communications, like, we don't talk anymore. And, like, I think that sucks. But I mean, that's kind of just part of dating and being relationships, you know? I mean, if that was what was best for him. But I would say I don't know. I think I just felt myself still being the same person I was in college. It sort of was attached to him. Mm-hmm. Not to say he didn't like stunt my growth or development into who I am now, but I definitely felt once I did break it off and had processed being on my own now, I think I saw a lot of blooming, especially in this last like 2 years.
Listen, a devastating breakup can lead to a very like strong woman period.
Yeah, seriously. It's all about what you do with it.
Well, speaking of coming out, I do need to ask the famous podcast question, which is, Caleb Gossett, whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame, babe?
Well, it's Jennifer, my mom's, but but I do. So this is my answer, but it's definitely, I have to give a shout out to Shania Twain's I Feel Like a Woman music video. The four gentlemen in the back pretending to play guitars in mesh shirts and latex pants. I was 5 or 6, and that's like one of my earliest memories where I was like, that's cute. Something's there, you know? But who I would give credit for that to is the Spice Girls. Icons.
I have so many songs and moments rushing through my head right now.
Yeah.
The Spice Girls really did a service to so many gays. I also did pull up the Man I Feel Like a Woman video, and you're right. They are in shiny black pants, full mesh tops. Of course you. And I feel like you yourself have rocked a gorgeous mesh top.
Oh, yeah. I love me a mesh top.
I think that it's beautiful to see that journey. And so, okay, so you maybe like a... maybe like a starter pill was the Shania Twain video. And
I think
Spice Girls came around, you were like full bonesies.
Yes, yes. Because I mean, so I've said this multiple times, but I had a Spice Girls diary that I don't even know if I actually wrote in it, but like I carried it everywhere. At my babysitter's place, when I got there, all the girls wanted to play Spice Girls. And I decided I was going to be their manager and I was going to tell them which one of them was which. And they'd always fight over baby, but I was like, no, you're posh, you're sporty. And then they would like follow me. And I was like, okay, girls, you're going to go perform. Let's go.
You are such a gay casting director as a full child. Were you deep down during that moment wanting to be one of the girls?
Oh, absolutely.
Which
like,
one?
Baby,
just like all the
I
other
think
girls.
Baby, but I think going back, it's like, I think I just loved Posh. Like she just was so effortlessly put together all the time. And she was like, she was just at that time, I saw her as like a giant Barbie doll. She just gorgeous. I mean, they're all so gorgeous, but it's. Yeah.
I mean this word in truly with the most respect, like the most positive you can associate this word. Posh was such a bitch in the best way. Just like a fucking
the
bitch.
Best way. Yes.
The best bitch, because she was just like stone cold stare. She was just like very harsh haircut. She would like be the only person I would allow bully me and I would enjoy it.
I agree. And then, I mean, Spice World, the movie, just added to huge, it. So huge. Camp. And then going along those lines, like, Posh is the only one that didn't change into, like, the actual outfit. She wore her same outfit, but in camo. Yeah. That's iconic.
Iconic.
It's just, they were so glitz and glam and colorful and, like, I mean, girl power. It just, it was amazing. It was just, ugh.
I actually have not thought about this in years, but when I was in, I think like 10th grade, 15, 16 years old, we did a group project that was like an advertising project for school. And I pitched that we should all do a music video for the business we were advertising as the Spice Girls. And the bit of the video was that I was Sporty Spice in drag. And I was identifying as a straight man at this point, but it was like such a thrill to put on a wig and be in front of a lens. I mean, can you imagine?
Yeah, you were thriving. Like little closeted you on the inside was like screaming, like screaming. Thank you so much.
And again, I've brought this up so many times, but when I came out, my twin brother was shocked and I was like, we were in the same grade and you saw me play Sporty Spice. I just don't understand that. It's like,
yeah,
people don't know. People don't know.
Some people, yeah, they definitely don't know. A lot of people in my family like weren't shocked, but yeah, I definitely like in college people were. And I even like looking back at some stuff, I was like, how? Like it was obvious.
Yeah. Did you, so you came out then like being like, I have a boyfriend. Is that how you came out to your people?
Yeah. So the story goes, I actually brought him. So I was in a fraternity as well, you know, deep closet. Yeah.
What college did you go to?
I went to IUPUI, which in summary is Indiana University, but their Indianapolis campus.
Love that. My brother went to the Bloomington one. Go off.
Yeah. Bloomington's beautiful. And I brought him to our final like giant party of the year with like 200 people. And like, he was already out and he was like, you don't have to do this if you don't want to. And I was like, no, I want to. And so as soon as he got there, I started introducing him as my boyfriend and it just started like spreading like wildfire. And like sorority girls kept coming up like, who's this, Caleb? Like intentionally, you know, like they heard, but yes,
they wanted to hear you say it.
Yeah.
How was everyone's reaction?
Overwhelmingly positive. I think the one, it's not negative, I guess, but I guess one of the girls brought her friend to like connect with me and potentially like hook up. Yeah. So when it came out at the party that I have a boyfriend and I'm gay, she cried and left because she felt set up by her friend. Like I didn't hear this until like a year after. And I was like, are you serious?
Can you imagine the like movie that's like sorority drama where the girl tries to set up her friend and it's like, but she does it on purpose and she knows the guy is gay. What a fucking bitch. And I mean that in the bad way, but like hilarious. And also like, you know what, we have to give that girlie some credit because all she was trying to do was get her friend laid. She didn't know you were gay.
She was. I know. Yeah, it definitely wasn't intentional because I mean, I think obviously if she's trying to set me up with the girl at that point, then she didn't know. She had no clue.
Wow. Caleb, you're such a mask king.
I know. Well, I did become the first gay president of my fraternity, so
mazel tov to that.
Hair flip.
Breaking barriers in Indiana. Right. Were you with your boyfriend through most of college?
Yeah. So
were you both monogamous during this time?
Yeah. We met my sophomore year of undergrad. So that would be 2012, 2013.
So have you ever had a slut era?
Yes. I would say, so there was I would say like in the second year of that relationship, we did have like a 3-month break where like it did seem like it was falling apart. And then I think apart, we realized we wanted to be back together. But yeah, I think that was a little bit. And then after the breakup with him officially, after 6 years, I really like explored. And
you have to.
I was talking the talk, like, you know, get on PrEP. Anyone listening, get tested, your status. So yeah, had a good time. And then I found a good guy on Hinge.
Oh, we love Hinge.
Yeah.
As a HIV educator, as an advocate, when you were going through your slut era, how did that inform your fucking around?
I mean, because I started my career in HIV and became this advocate while I was monogamous, like I had all the information readily available. You know, I knew how to get on PrEP. I knew how to pay for it if there was insurance issues because I had walked people through that myself. And so I was ready. I had everything I needed and it really wasn't an issue.
So here's a question. I have told this story when I was a senior in high school about to go to college. My parents gave me and my twin brother sex talks in separate rooms at separate times. My twin brother's was, he's straight. It was 3 minutes long. Wear a condom, have some fun, high five. My parents come into my room and 3 hours later, I was in tears because I found out that an older gay man would violate my tushy and then I would get HIV.
Oh,
that's like my full like joke. However,
so sorry.
It was like, thank you. And the thing is, they were well-intentioned, as of course.
Oh, I know.
You know that. But of course, it fucked my mind up.
It
and
always
ever
does.
Since then, I mean, I literally mentioned to you like going to a party where I was going to get monkeypox. Like I have always been afraid, and also deeply horny. So like, what do you say to someone who is deeply afraid of all of the STIs, all of the risks, but also still want to express themselves sexually?
Yeah. And I will say, yeah, I definitely believe like your parents were well-intended in that. I think from the HIV AIDS crisis in the 80s and 90s, it turned into fear-mongering, you know, especially because sexual education and just talking about sex in general is so taboo. It just became the norm to be like, if you're gay, you're going to get HIV. Like it's, you know, it's like that was supposed to scare you into using condoms, which for a long time it did work. Like we did see cases go down and condom use increase, you know, for what it's worth. But I think like if someone is genuinely scared and like just wanting to be cautious, that's completely okay. There is room for you to be cautious, extremely cautious and take precautions and then be extremely slutty and do what you want. You know, like we have a variety of things in our prevention toolbox, if you will. And that doesn't just include PrEP. It does include condoms. It also includes having conversations. Like I think everyone, before you engage with a sexual partner, you should be having a conversation of when's the last time you were tested, what's your HIV status. And I know sometimes with random hookups or whatever situation when you can't always have that, but I think that's when it calls for taking care of yourself and being on PrEP and getting tested as frequently as you can, things like that. There are things to keep yourself safe.
Yeah. And I think what I wish I was told as a younger person was like, say you do all the precautions and then say something does happen where you test positive for something, whatever. It's like, I was told not even just from my parents, but from everyone, just like the world would end if that happens. And I think like it needs to be said more and more that not only is it okay and like you're not, you know, tainted in any way, but like there is a path forward no matter what.
Right.
It is. It's just like, that to me was like such a mind fuck because I'm like, here I am being like such a horny, overthinking little guy. And just like, all I wanted to do was get my rocks off and then felt like I was in a prison of my own making.
Yeah. Cause it's like, okay, well, I really want to like get off and do stuff with people. But then if I do, like, I'm going to get HIV. Like, that's how your brain's connecting it. That's why we have to continue to push back on the language commonly used on all the apps, like, I'm clean. You know, like, cause it's like having an STI isn't dirty. Like getting STIs is common. Although you should take precautions to prevent yourself from getting them. Although many of them are curable. We have things to treat them. And when it comes to HIV, it's no longer a death sentence. It's not something that if it does happen, I mean, there are resources to help you and you can live as long and healthy of a life as someone who doesn't have HIV nowadays.
Someone once told me that really was like a nice message is like, we so often people talk about like getting a virus, getting sick, getting a cold, whatever it is. And like, but there's the stigma with the sexually transmitted ones. It's like, it's actually, everyone's just a human. We're all just like Petri dishes.
Yes. And,
like,
and so, it's the like, same thing.
It's the same fucking thing. If you just like, you know, go to a doctor for your sinus infection. And then, you know, if you get something sexually, it's like, wait a minute, why are we like feeling so fucking horrible about one more? Like if you get into sinus infection, does that mean you're a whore that's going to burn in hell?
Yeah. No.
Gnar vibes. I do want to ask you something that one of the things I'm such a fan of you sharing your journey is your hair surgery.
Oh, yes.
You look great. Can I say
Thank
that?
You. Thank
look
you so much. Good. I really appreciate it.
My biggest insecurity is also, and I've talked about a lot, is the hair stuff. And you did it. Who doesn't know, you got the, what do you call the thing you got?
So either, I mean, it's commonly known as hair, just a hair transplant or hair restoration. Is very commonly used.
So basically you went, you had to like, they trimmed your hair down all the way. Then they basically put, was it hairs from the back into the front?
Yeah. And so there's two ways currently that can be done. Like the old fashioned way was they would cut a slab of your skin from the back and sew it up and then take the hairs from that. But I didn't want a scar. And so this was an all day procedure. They, from the back of my head, took the hairs one by one. And then like divvied them up so they could like be donor hairs. And then they like poked holes in the front of my head and then placed the hairs in.
Go off. And you also posted you posted how much it cost on TikTok. You posted like the whole, I love that I'm a person that thinks that money should not be weird to talk about. And just the transparency is key. So it was, how much was it again? Like,
12? So I got 2,000 grafts, which was approximately $12,000, which as it is, like, that's a big number, even for me. The only reason I decided to go through with this, because one, I've been planning for a while and did a consultation. And two, they are working with me to do like monthly payments. So it's not something I had to pay all up front. And same thing, my hairline, especially as someone, I think like hair became one of my identifiers because I like, I styled it for a long time, but then as I was losing it, I just wanted to like put a hat on all the time and cover up and never go in water or wind, you know? And so
triggered
the moment that I had the financial capability to make those monthly payments, I was like, let's do it.
And so now that you're like a few months out, are you happy you did it?
Yeah. So for anyone listening, I got it done in March. And so it's July right now. This is the time where I'll start seeing hairs grow. And I am, they're pretty, you can't really see them on camera, but if they just continue to grow as they are, I think it's going to look great. And I'm really happy.
I one day I'm going to be just like you and I'm going to get my hair transplanted.
Yes. I think we're definitely in a time where like cosmetic surgeries are so much more common or less stigmatized. I mean, especially because like we have all those shows where people like, you know, getting botched or whatnot. And so it's like, I think if you have the financial capability to do it or anything else, like go for it. If it makes you feel better about yourself.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Go for it.
I'm so, we just like Matt and I want to buy a house. We want to have a baby. And it's like looking down that barrel is so devastating. And like, so like I envision myself being filthy fucking rich in the most, ethical way. Like I'm not going to do crimes. I'm going to maybe
a little crimes,
a little crime, and just maybe a little one. A huge State Farm campaign. But like, I think that I want to get this surgery done because my biggest fear is being one of those people that walk around and then other people like, just shave your fucking head. Who has not told you to shave your head? Like, I do not want to become that statistic.
Well, it's even, I think, at least for me, I mean, I can kind of sympathize with those people because it's like you're hanging on to your hair, you know? And it's like when you go fully bald, even for those people that have like a few strands, you know, it's just like when you do that and it's like a shiny bald head, I think it's just devastating.
Oh my God. I literally have had like nightmares about like the moment I'm sitting in the chair and they shave the whole thing and I'm just like, mascara is running down my face.
Oh no, I empathize with you though. I mean, it was such a insecurity of mine for a long time, but I also in the same vein, like if you are bald and you can't get a hair transplant, like the units and the toupees, if you will, like, are so much better now. They look real. Like, those are all over my TikTok, which is
me too.
I talked about hair transplant and stuff, but they look amazing. Me.
They look really good. I do feel a little like, I wonder, like, maintenance and like, it's, but they do, I mean, they do look really good. I need you to tell me right now that if I were to shave my head, would I still look okay?
I mean, I think you have a head shape for it. Yeah. I'm trying, well, because you have a hat on. I mean, I'm trying to visualize. I mean, I think you have a good head shape for it. Do you have like, is it really bony up here? Because mine is.
Wait, what is a
like,
bony?
I mean, have you ever had really short hair before? Like when I shave my head, I look like they're like where it peaks at, I look like a cone head.
Really?
Like, but, oh, no, like, I can see the bone.
I don't think
so.
I
then,
have
yeah,
that.
I think. And
I'm
that's
more worried
my
about
my big
features.
No, I think you look great. What are you talking about?
I literally have a podcast now just to fish for compliments with every guest. Thank you for doing that for me.
You're welcome. And I mean, I'm one person, my friends will tell you, like, when you ask my opinion, I tell you.
Oh, I can tell, Kayla, the second your face studied my fucking head shape, I was like, not the right person. Not the right.
You're like, oh no, he's going to read me.
I know. He's like, take your hat off. I'm like, that's okay. No, I actually love that about you because you give a very honest reaction.
Yeah. I mean, I just like, and I think that comes from one of my grandmas, actually, because she is a country girl. She like, it's her way or the highway. She'll beat your ass kind of thing. And yeah, she helped raise me. And I'm like, sometimes I have no filter and I'm like, I'm sorry.
No, I love that. I think that's probably why you've become such a star you are.
Well, thank you.
Sticking to your gosh darn truths.
Yes.
I have to ask you, speaking of these truths, another podcast question.
Oh, yes.
Caleb. If the world was ending, you could only save one character actress. Who would you save?
Oh my gosh. This one was so much harder to think about. But I think when I found who it was, I was like, that makes so much sense. I would save Charlize Theron.
Oh my God. Caleb, you are breaking ground. No one said that.
She just has always just done it for me. And I think it's because she's a strong woman. And I think every character she does, that probably plays into it. But
did you
she
see
actually,
the movie that she did? Was it called Young Adult, where she like goes back to her like childhood home and she because when you said Charlize Theron, there's so many people that come on that are always like really nervous about what does it mean to be a character actress. And when you look at her, she's like a fucking statuesque like Dior
she's
campaign.
Gorgeous. Oh, my God. Her perfume ads. Ugh.
Yes. But she's done. I mean, pardon the expression, but she's uglied herself up for many a role. And I would say absolutely a character actress. And so what was your Charlize Theron entry?
Well, because when I thought about it, I was like, every movie she's in, I like want to see. I don't know. There's just something so interesting about her. And in my like thinking of this question, I found out she was in one of my favorite childhood movies, Mighty Joe Young. So it's pretty much like the King Kong of Disney.
Yeah,
like there's
a
giant ape. Yeah. And so she's the one that like takes care of him before he gets taken to the big city.
I think I saw that when I was a child.
Yeah, and I didn't realize until like thinking about this question and picking her that she was in that. So I've loved her ever since I was little. But yeah, when it sort of resurged for me was one that sticks out is like the Snow White and the Huntsman movies, which were really dark, and she was the queen and like sucked the life out of people. Like, I mean, I would say most gay men love like a good feminine villain, you know, and she's so good at it.
Okay, tough question. Do you think she's a villain in real life?
I hope not. So I feel if I'm saving her at the end of the world, like I think it's because one, I think she would protect me. Because
can you imagine you're like on an island with her, the world's ended, and you chose to save her and she's such a fucking bitch to you?
Oh God. Like complains the whole time or something. Yeah.
Never mind. I was like, what? And then what if she's homophobic? Which there's no chance she is. I think that it's a great answer. And I bet you that she's the type of person that like is so much fun to get brunch with. But if you get on her bad side, you're done for.
I know. And I think that's maybe why I see it too. Because I'm kind of the same way. Like, I'm a people person. But like, as soon as you get on my bad side and like you lose my trust, it's over.
So listen, so you are a very optimistic, positive, like bright person, but on the other side of it, if you're wronged, you will fuck a bitch up.
I'm a Gemini.
Okay, Caleb, I love this. I loved the dark-sided twinness of it all. So Caleb, what is something that someone could do to you that would make you turn on them? Like, what's the biggest thing that is going to make you not want to be a part of their life?
Ooh, a very, I guess a more vague answer would be like, intentionally disrespect me.
Yeah.
Trying to bring me down intentionally, which I think that could be multiple things, but disrespect has always been something I focus on a lot. And I think that's mm-hmm. because my grandparents helped raise me. And I think I got that from them, but I, in romantic partners, I see that, like, I'm very much like how you treat people. Like, I'm watching, I'm observing. If we're out to dinner and you're like talking shit to the server, like, it's over.
It is over. That, yeah. I don't know if I've ever been on a date with someone that was, it's even with like friends, I feel like, because like, it,
same thing. It's the I don't want to hang out
and
with you.
And the thing is, all of my friends are good to servers, but I'd be lying if I said, like, there's obviously moments where anyone's like, someone's having a bad day and like, or like, something happens or like, whatever. Like, the server barometer is a very good, I feel like that should be our advice, like, to our future grandchildren.
Yes.
Whenever you go on a date with someone, at least go to a restaurant within the first two or three dates so you can see how they talk to the server.
Yeah, that's something I look for immediately. And I also, that's why I'll let them kind of like order too, because I want to know, like, because some people that intentionally see them as less than, and you can hear it in how they order food too. It's just, and maybe it's just because I'm very observant, but yeah, like.
Well, on the other side of it, Matt gets mad at me because he thinks I'm overly friendly to the servers. Like, he's like, Matt, he has trauma because he worked in a restaurant and he thinks that all the servers are talking shit behind our backs, which like, very well could be happening.
Yeah, sure.
But I like sometimes, like, there's so many, especially like comedy people, like performers, that just want the validation. So if we're gonna find the interview question and then make them crack a smile or a laugh, like, I'm gonna do it, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I'd rather them be talking shit about me in the kitchen because I'm like too overly nice than like being a shitty person and them spitting in my food, you know?
Yes, 100%. I do have a fantasy of like, in a future life, or who knows in the future, that a friend of mine had gone to a restaurant, gotten the number of the server, and then after his shift, like, they like fucked somewhere after. And I was like, that is so hot.
Oh, I love that. Like, the impromptu. Yeah. I love that.
If you were not in a monogamous relationship, what is one of your number one fantasies of just like, are you a grocery store girl? Are you a nude beach meat? Are you a steam room? Are you like, what's a big fantasy?
Ooh. See, I've had sex in a steam room and it's like, at least in the steam room we were in, like, it was hard to breathe. It was just hot. And I was like, so I'm not into that. I'm not very much like a public play kind of girl, but I love like a good tie up and blindfold moment.
Yes. Yeah. Are you
either
watching?
One, like either being tied or tying someone else?
A verse tire.
Yeah. I told you, I'm in the middle of the road. I'm kind of, and it's kind of great because I kind of give my sexual partners like the ability to be like, okay, what are you into? And like, we can work with that because I'm kind of just like open to most things.
Okay. The last 10 times you've had sex, what fraction of that did you top and what fraction did you bottom?
Oh, so it's in my current relationship.
Yeah.
I would say it's probably 80 top, 20 bottom.
Go off.
Yeah.
Big dick top.
What can I say?
Well, I think that's one of the most brilliant ways that we can start to close this out. But before we close out this stunning conversation, I have to ask a question I did not prep you for. Caleb Gossett, what is the best Whoopi Goldberg film?
I feel like my mind immediately goes to Sister Act.
Thank you. Correct.
Right?
That is the answer. That is the answer.
I mean, it's just, it's even for people I would assume that aren't even Whoopi Goldberg fans, like, they're just such great movies. And people even to this day are demanding like a Sister Act 3.
They are. And I saw on Twitter, like, within the past week, this guy, he knew his husband loves Sister Act 2 so much. So for their wedding, he surprised his husband with a gospel choir to sing Joyful, Joyful from the end of Sister Act 2. And they did like full choreo.
Had great sex after that.
Oh, I hope so. I mean, he deserved
good for
it.
Them.
Yeah, and like, I think Danny Pellegrino posted it, and then I, of course, like, had to message the guy who did it. I had to retweet. I mean, just a beautiful sign of love if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, that is wonderful. That'd be a great, just to like attend that wedding too and see that. That would be magical.
Can you imagine? Oh my God.
I'd be gobsmacked.
If they had an ice cream sundae bar plus that, perfect night. Perfect night. I'm done for. Caleb, where can people follow you?
So I am on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. It's just my name, Caleb Gossett, no spaces or anything. And I will say, just to plug, if anyone does have HIV questions, whether it is like simple questions that you think may be dumb, there are no dumb questions, or if it's something a little bit more elaborate, like helping you find services locally, please feel free to DM me. I respond to all DMs that are HIV and sexual health focused. So I'm happy to help and talk through stuff.
God bless you, Caleb. You are such a great person, a great guest, and hot as hell.
Oh, thank you so much.
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because we know in making the most of your home, DIY doesn't just stand for do-it-yourself. It also means dream it yourself. And we're here to help protect the dreams you're building. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.